This time on episode 200 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 1, Pilot. We talk your weekly Marvel news, and we talk your listener feedback.
I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Thursday, September 14th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Happy National Live Creative Day, ladies.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yay.
How are y'all living creatively?
I'm recording the 200th episode of a podcast. How are you living creatively?
Same.
I would say I've been knitting, but let's be real, I napped most of the day.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Tahiti. It's a magical place.
If you'd like to talk to us about magical places, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail about the magical places in your life, you can catch us at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can hit up our magical Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can hit up our absolutely magical and not at all sinister Twitter page, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to leave us a message on our YouTube channel about how magical the viewership is, you can catch us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Happy 200th, ladies. This is our 200th episode.
Woohoo!
Woo!
I'd be having a celebratory bourbon, but right after we finish, I'm going to have to take some heavy-duty painkillers. And
those go really well together, right?
Yeah. Public service announcement. Do not do booze and painkillers.
Mm.
The more you know.
Do them if you really want to be knocked out for the next couple of days.
And also put a hole in your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't do that. Full disclosure, listener, none of us have done 200 episodes of this show.
No.
This show was started by the Legends podcast crew at the time, which was The Operator, Beef, and Nightwing, and they created Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. They did the first 12 episodes of the show, should have been 13. We discovered that they did not do an episode on The Bridge, which was one of the first 13 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the first episode actually aired of this podcast on September 28th, 2013. So that's like almost 4 years to the day. So 200 comes at about 4 years time frame. Haley and I took over with Will on the 13th episode on March 15th, 2014. So our anniversary is a few months away. And Lauren didn't come to the cast until episode 22, which was May 3rd, 2014, when Will left the show and Lauren came on. So, but the podcast is 200. So we're going to go with the podcast birthday here. 200 for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And then we can throw additional parties for when y'all joined and then when I joined, and we'll just be partying all year long.
That's the plan.
That's a lot of bourbon.
It's a lot of bourbon, and I am fine with that.
Just as long as you don't mix with painkillers, right?
Yeah, here's another PSA. Don't twist your ankle while walking down a very steep hill.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, the you know, the ligaments and stuff like that in your foot don't tend to like that. So, yeah, now I have to wear this gigantic boot on my foot. Also, if you injure yourself, get it looked at immediately instead of walking around another state and another country for an entire week.
What do doctors know?
Look, I really, really wanted to go on vacation, okay?
Was it vacation or was it like a Lord of the Rings quest?
A little bit of both. I really, really, really wanted to see whales. And I saw whales. And yay! I saw sharks and dolphins and sunfish.
We were speculating that since Houston had flooded because of Hurricane Harvey, that you had started on your quest like 2012 to go to some arc somewhere to test that out.
You know, you are not the first person to make a 2012 joke this past week. I swear, there was like three random people on the cruise. I went on a cruise with a bunch of, by the way, partying with retired people is way underrated because they drink all day and they don't care. So it's fantastic.
I could see that, definitely. Yeah. Except
Mom
for I can't
and
drink.
Martha, if you're listening, hi.
And they do listen from time to time, you
yes,
told me.
Yes, they do. So, yeah, okay. I helped Aunt Martha figure out how to subscribe to podcasts. So if you're listening to this, hi, I had a fantastic time being your roommate this last week.
So 200 episodes and Hurricane Harvey. By the way, Hurricane Harvey, the ladies here did a relief episode that is available where?
I have been posting the link on Facebook and on Twitter. The link is actually, let me pull it up.
It will also be in our show notes.
Yeah, it'll also be in our show notes. It's generosity.com/emergencies-fundraising/hurricane-harvey-victims-podcast-back.
That's a lot of dashes.
Again, it'll be in our show notes. But
okay, it'll be there. And what is it? Like 47 different podcasts that they can get?
Yeah, there's 47 different podcasts, including Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Strange and Unusual, mainly based in Houston podcasts, but just all sorts of different genres from things like Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, Metal Geeks, Nerdy Bitches, Rebel Radio. Some of my favorites are on here. Cult 45, the movie podcast, Digital Soup. There's special episodes from all 47 of these, and you can only get them by donating to the podcast pack. It's $10. More is appreciated. And the way this is being split, and Justin Corbett, the organizer, he's one of the hosts of the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, is splitting it. 25% is going to Houston-based podcasters who have been affected, like our very own C. Paris from Strange and Unusual. And the other 75% is going to the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, which is a charity started by Mayor Sylvester Turner from Houston. And what you need to do is go to the page. You could either just add your donation, or if you want the podcast pack, click on the $10 podcast pack button, because I've done this before with like Indiegogo, where you don't click on that, you just donate, and you're like,
you don't get your thing.
I didn't get my thing.
So yeah, you pick the podcast pack.
Yes, pick the podcast pack.
But you can now find this at geeks.link/Harvey Fundraiser.
Thank you.
Or geeks.link/podcast pack. They both do the same thing. So lots of great stuff there and lots of great goodness that the money will go to, and get a lot of great podcasts to listen to as well, and are introduced to some new hosts maybe. So go check that out. And thank you, ladies, for recording. I couldn't participate because I was off doing another podcast at that same time. Otherwise, I would have been there. So thank you very much.
Yeah. We should tell you what we recorded about. The Spider-Man animated episode, Kraven the Hunter. It is a fantastic discussion that you will love hearing.
Yes. So if you want to hear me and Haley talk about Kraven the Hunter and 90s Spider-Man, go donate and check it out. And check out all the other amazing podcasts that are on here. It's all different genres, all different subjects. Just check it out. Maybe see if you find, you know, some new stuff to add to your listening list.
Stephen John Drew in the chat, who's the network owner of Gunna Geek, by the way, says, give yourself a pat on the back for doing that. Kudos. So ladies, give yourself a pat on the back.
Pat, pat, pat.
Okay. Well, that is it. 200 episodes. We're going to get into the main event, the main content. But 200, thank you, listener, for downloading this podcast. Over 200 episodes. We really appreciate it to keep this podcast going. Because if nobody downloaded it, I don't know. I wouldn't be recording it. Haley might, because she used to do 7 podcasts a week. But I don't know. I wouldn't. So thank you for being around.
Right. Let's get into it.
As we mentioned before, we didn't do the first 13 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so that includes the pilot. We have not discussed the pilot at all yet, so this is our chance to discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot. Haley, what's with the title?
Well, the pilot is the person that steers the ship, and this is an episode very much about people not steering their own lives, and I feel like the title is about them taking control of their lives and the journey that they're going on to steer where they're going to go in the future.
I see. If I was good to go that route, I would have said the pilot is all about Melinda May because she's driving the bus.
Also true. Also true. And a very valid interpretation.
Also, pilot, like a pilot light, and Mike gets lit in this episode.
Ooh, very good. Very good.
A lot of layers.
Like
yeah. Also, it tends to be the title of a first episode of a TV show.
What?
Just, yeah.
Lauren, right? You're just bringing us down. We had it going.
I just got to bring everything crashing down and spoil everybody's fun. But honestly, I like the Melinda May connection better. So let's go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that. And Lauren, this pilot episode called Pilot was directed by the one, the only, the man, Joss Whedon.
Yes, he has directed a whole bunch of stuff. 15 directing credits since 2002. Let's see. 3 episodes of Firefly, 22 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 7 of Angel, the movie Serenity, Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and commentary, the musical, 3 episodes of Dollhouse, The Avengers, Much Ado About Nothing, this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Avengers Age of Ultron, and possibly the upcoming Batgirl. Oh, and he is doing pickups for Justice League, or has done. I guess they're finished by now.
Hopefully.
You'd hope.
This episode was also written by Joss Whedon. And I know most of you probably haven't heard of this guy. Hasn't done much. 45 writing credits going back to 1989, including 4 episodes of Roseanne, 3 of Parenthood, a bunch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, also Buffy the Vampire Slayer the movie, which he kind of tries to disown, Toy Story, Alien Resurrection, Titan AE, Atlantis the Lost Empire, 5 episodes of Firefly, 8 of Angel, Serenity, Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, 2 episodes of Spider-Woman, Agent of S.W.O.R.D., Astonishing X-Men, which is an excellent motion comic, 4 episodes of Dollhouse, Cabin in the Woods, The Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron, 1 episode of Ultimate Spider-Man, this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then the upcoming Batgirl and Justice League.
But it wasn't just written by Joss Whedon. There were also a couple of other, I don't know who they are, but they're just people that just happened to get on board here. Who were they, Haley?
You know, just some other Whedon folks. Jed Whedon. He has 11 credits starting in 2008, including 13 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., an episode of Axemen, 2 episodes of Spartacus War of the Damned, 16 of Dollhouse, and he's also been a producer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the little slingshot mini thing they did, Spartacus War of the Damned, and Spartacus Gods of the Arena, and his writing partner is Marissa Tankeron, also his wife. She has 9 writing credits starting in 2003, including Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, 1 episode of Drop Dead Diva, 6 of Dollhouse, 1 of Spartacus Gods of the Arena, and 13 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's also been a producer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Slingshot, Spartacus War of the Damned, Spartacus Gods of the Arena, and Dance Life.
So a couple things there. First of all, I get a chuckle every time I've seen the writing credit for Jed Whedon for Axemen, so that's pretty funny. And Marissa Tankeron's work on Dance Life was just phenomenal as well. You got to check that out. By the way, Marissa and Jed are the showrunners and have been since day one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So give it up for the pair. Woo! For giving us some great stuff. And they were all involved in the pilot. So we're going to break down the episode, and we have decided to go character by character because there's so much to say 4 years later about each of the developments here. And we got to start by the voiceover start from the young, the very naive Sky.
That was listening to that voiceover again now. Like, she is a much better actor than she was then, because that voiceover was not great.
I remember at the beginning, I thought she was so annoying. I really honestly didn't like her until maybe the last couple of episodes of season one, the beginning of season two. But wow, just looking at how much she has changed, at how much better she's gotten, at how much her character has changed. This is kind of just blowing my mind. Just this whole episode, looking at how much everyone changed, is blowing my mind. But in particular, Sky, she's this naive little information wants to be free, yo, kind of archetypal Whedon girl, the snappy lines, the kind of, you know, when they mentioned the cosplayers in front of Stark Tower, she's like, oh, hey, that was one time. And that's a very Whedon line.
Yep.
But she moves away from that as the season goes on. And I remember watching this with my husband when it was first on, and I was honestly kind of disappointed in the first episode when it first aired. I'm not sure what I had been expecting, but it felt like kind of flat for me. And now watching this, you see just the hints of what's all to come with their characters. Like Sky, she has this fascination with superheroes, and she ends up becoming one. She has all these newspapers cut out in her van, and for all we know, those are Inhumans that are being sighted.
Yeah. Probably are, as a matter of fact, because the whole world had changed. I mean, we had gotten to the end of where it was a line, I believe, from, who was it? Was it Maria Hill? No. Was it the Doctor? I can't remember who it was, but we've gotten to the end of the world, and now we're on the next part, and this is what it is. So, yeah, the things have changed quite a bit. Haley, looking at Sky now, mm-hmm. She looks so young. She's changed so much.
Yeah. she has.
Including her name, which is now Daisy, right. To be Sky.
They say, Ward asks, what's your real name? And Coulson blows him off like, oh, we don't have time for that.
I know. There were so many hints of the entire series, which you can find in this episode if you watch them over and over. That was one that I saw, was Sky is hinted at not being her real name. Oh, and she's an Inhuman. We don't know that yet. I think the Wheatons knew that at the time. I think they had planned this out, but I might be wrong.
I don't know, because I don't know that they knew for sure they had the rights to the Inhumans at this time.
I don't know.
That's probably true. I'm not sure. I wonder what the original plan was before they got the rights to, like, the Inhumans, like, before they had all of that settled, before they knew they would be doing Inhumans only on TV versus in the movies. And the other thing I kept thinking this whole episode was every time Sky and Coulson would interact, I keep thinking to how they are now, that very much surrogate father-daughter relationship that they have. And right here, she especially is very antagonistic toward him. And as the season goes on, you start to see them becoming more of like a mentor-mentee relationship. And then it becomes very much more of a family type thing. And it's just, oh, it's so weird to see them interacting again without that closeness.
I know. And let's talk about Sky's future boyfriend, Ward.
Gross.
True. But you can't deny that they were dating for a while. So Ward looks young, and there are so many hints of him to come as well. During the first 2/3 of the season, before Turn, which was the episode after the Captain America Civil War, where the collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D. happened, Ward was so wooden. And I remember the interviews at the time. Ward did not know that he was a Hydra agent at the time. Spoilers, by the way. Hydra agent at the time. But he's playing it off so well. The fact that he wants to kill people versus being a welcoming committee and everything. I'm like, wow, this is... They handmade him into a Hydra agent from episode one.
Yes.
Yeah, like, okay, so when Ward first shows up, he's basically the second recurring made-for-the-show character that we're introduced to. And we're introduced to him as this uber confident Jason Bourne type infiltrating this hideout. And I started thinking, I wonder if that's why the betrayal of Ward was kind of felt so deeply. He was introduced and kind of expected to be the deuteragonist of this show. You know, the other protagonist, despite Daisy, Sky. And again, it's just so weird seeing him be the super straight-laced. I mean, again, I really, really didn't like him for the longest time until he turned evil. And then he actually started getting interesting.
I thought he was really dull. I'm pretty sure there are podcasts where I complain about how dull and pretty he is.
Yeah, and here he has, you know, he's all smooth shaven, and there's so much stuff that, knowing what we know now about his background and his secret Hydra loyalties, there's lines here that you can look at in such a different way. It was something he was saying about his training that I was like, oh, this can be taken very, very differently now that we know what we know about, I'm blanked out on his name, Bill Paxton's character.
Garrett?
Oh.
Garrett, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah. All the stuff that I was trained to be this, and I'm a lone agent and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just, it was purposely made for a Hydra agent, which was, in retrospect, such a great move.
What could have happened while he was under the truth serum if Sky had asked the wrong question?
I was going to bring that up. So he's given the truth serum, and it could have come out, and it doesn't because she doesn't ask the right question. I wonder what would have happened if she did ask a question like, are you really a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, or are you something else?
Or just something like, why did you join S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Why did you kill your dog?
Well, she doesn't know about the...
She could. Do you have any pets? No. Did you used to? Yes. What happened to it? I killed it. Could have happened.
Well, yeah, but... At the same time, she would have no reason to ask stuff like that. The stuff that she asks makes perfect sense for the circumstances and what very little she knows about him, given that she's just met him. But again, it's one of those, like, you know, you as a viewer know all this stuff and you want her to ask the right questions, but you know that she's not going to, because he's going to stick around for, like, I don't know, what is it, like 16, 17 more episodes before he goes evil?
It was in Turn, and I think that was episode 17.
Did he come out right away? Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was episode 17. Yeah, so 16 yeah. episodes later, that happened. Oh, by the way, Coulson comes back from the dead. There's so many theories at the time of how this happened, what happened. We know now that Tahiti was involved, and just hearing the name Tahiti in this episode, it's like, oh, I just see where this is going. But life model decoy was brought up from time to time. There's just so many theories about, okay, Coulson's back. Is it really Coulson? Or did Coulson really die? Or
is he a clone?
Yeah, so much stuff happened. It was, oh, but he's back and he comes out from the shadows. I thought that was really great. That was Coulson-esque through and through.
Well, and there were a lot of thinking that, you know, Fury was just being a dick and told them he was dead when he wasn't.
Yeah, I remember that was a really popular theory in fanfic. There was a lot of that going around at the time. And there was a lot of, he died temporarily, but, you know, they put him on life support at the hospital, or just, I don't know, so much speculation, because nobody was really ready to see Coulson dead for good, because he's this character that we've all come to know and love. And then finally he's back and we're like, okay, so how is he back? And nobody knew for the longest time. I mean, just looking back on it, it's... On the one hand, it's kind of funny, all the stuff that we were thinking. And on the other hand, it's fun to look at these little bitty hints that we were getting at the time and being able to piece together, this is fun in retrospect. Because again, I haven't watched the first season of the show since it aired, I think.
Yeah. So I watched it on Netflix, and it was great watching it without commercials this time around, just rolling straight through it. And it just was fun watching it like a movie, basically. And I did watch the first, I don't know, 15 minutes, like twice, because I watched it in one location. I was like, you know what? I need to sit down and write notes while I'm doing this. So I transitioned back to the computer. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'll just watch it from the beginning. And Haley, you were mentioning the voiceover of Sky, listening to it again. I listened to it twice. The first time I was like, I don't know who this was. And then the second time around, I was listening. It was like, oh, that does sound like Sky, but it's such a different voice. Wow. Coulson is as quippy as ever. I mean, this is the Coulson from the movies. And I think this is one of the things that having Joss Whedon as the director actually helped the transition of Coulson personally, which was a big thing back then.
Yeah, well, writing and directing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of keeping Coulson in character. And I think that worked out well.
Yeah, he's still, we still get him. We get him being quippy, but we get him being good at what he does. And we get him being a nerd. We have him, you know, when he shows up with Lola for the first time. And
don't touch Lola.
Don't touch Lola. Yeah, it's a very good introduction to Coulson right here, if we hadn't already been introduced to him in the movies. But considering how much more we'll get to know about Coulson, it's a good kind of refresher on him.
It is. And it was also great to see Maria Hill. She's been, I don't know, I want to say 3 or 4 episodes total in the entire series, maybe more than that. But it was great seeing her there as the transition from the movies to the TV as well.
I was hoping we would get more Maria Hill. I remember talking about this at the time, like this season was airing during the last season of How I Met Your Mother. And we knew that How I Met Your Mother was ending. And we talked about, well, maybe when that ends, she'll become like a full-time character on the show, or maybe a regular recurring character or something. And she'll be the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, you know, she's free now. But that wasn't the case.
Right. Let's look at all the characters on the show and who could possibly be director from time to time based on the comics. Daisy Johnson herself could be director. Maria Hill could be director. Coulson became director, but wasn't director in the comics at any time in the past, I think. And then you do have Fury showing up. So you have different directors of S.H.I.E.L.D. that have either been on the show or guested on the show. And I would have loved to see Maria Hill back in that capacity. But the problem with that is then you detract from Phil Coulson, who is the star of the show. I mean, they're all stars.
Well, no, you still have him leading the team. And, you know, the team is not at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters every week. So he's off doing his own thing, being in charge, and then they come back to headquarters every once in a while.
It still would be great to have her back. I'm not going to deny that. That would be great. Even now, it would be great to have her back.
Yep. Yeah, I want her so much to make another cameo. Just, you know, maybe once, twice a season. No, I'm not even asking for all that much. Just, come on, have her show up. She's fantastic.
I think it would be good to have her at the beginning of this season after all the things that just went down. You know, we had a S.H.I.E.L.D. director die. So maybe she comes in and is like, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah, and a little bit in the transition from S.H.I.E.L.D. to S.W.O.R.D. maybe, because I still think S.W.O.R.D.'s in play for this season, but we'll find out when we get there in a few months.
Maybe.
So September, November. So, well, I mean, we'll find out what they call it in a few months. I don't know if it's going to be S.W.O.R.D. or not.
I kind of think a season, well, series finale thing is Daisy taking up the mantle of director.
Oh, I hope so.
That would be awesome.
It really does seem like that's where it's leading.
Yep, like Phil and Melinda on a beach somewhere, maybe Tahiti.
Oh,
that would be so nice and so heartbreaking at the same time, because you never know. I mean, it's Tahiti. It's like, is this really Tahiti? I don't know. Oh.
It's really Tahiti, and they're having like Mai Tais, and they're just finally taking a vacation together, and they kiss, and it's happy. And that's all I'm going to accept.
Okay, happy, I'll accept that, because if it's just them on a beach like Chuck and not everything's right in the world, then I'll have a problem with that, because I have a problem with the way Chuck ended. Just saying. If you haven't guessed already from the previous 200 episodes of this show, unfortunately, the next character we're going to talk about is no longer with us. That's Ron Glass as Dr. Stryton. It was so touching seeing him on the screen again. I mean, he was just a gentle actor on the screen for this episode. He was great in Firefly and Serenity and everything else that he did in his great career. And it was just great seeing him on the screen.
I forgot he was in this episode, so it kind of took me by surprise seeing him. And yeah, I know he wasn't in the show very much and only in the first season, but he was part of a really important arc. And yeah, it was good seeing him again. And it's a shame that he's no longer with us. I got to see him at a con a few years ago, and he was really nice and fantastic.
Indeed. And he will be sorely missed. And unfortunately, we're obviously not going to have him back on the show anymore. But it was great having him on the episodes that we did, because he was in more than this episode. He was involved in the whole Tahiti thing. If you continue to watch the episodes as they go forward, We get to see the cavalry, although we don't hear the term cavalry in this episode. Melinda May, she's making the red tape, and then she becomes the driver of the bus.
Also, yay, the bus. The original bus.
I loved seeing the bus again. I'm like, oh, I would love to have that ship back. Oh.
But yeah, May, now that we know about her past, we understand her a lot better. And we know why she's so reluctant to return to the field. But again, it's so good seeing her. And again, even though she's one of the most stoic of the cast members, there's still so much character growth she's been through in these past 4 years. And seeing her there at the very beginning, very, you know, self-composed and honestly kind of frightened. And then where she is now, where she's still very self-composed, but a lot more.
She's team mom now.
Yeah, she's team mom. And she has this thing with Phil, and she's become a mentor to Daisy, and she's just not as afraid to reach out to people anymore. And she's been through so much, like even more than she'd already been through so much at the beginning. And then now, I mean, she's been through hell and back like at least twice on the show. And she just keeps coming back and kicking ass and coming back stronger. Again, it's just so interesting to see these characters at their starting points.
Yeah, remember at the time, the big fan theory was that she was Skye's mother.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Right.
You can't have two Asian characters on the show and not have them be related. That's crazy.
I admit, I kind of wanted that just because I really liked the whole, you know, team mom and team dad dynamic with her and Phil. And I was like, but she could really be Skye's mom. And then it'll just be a big, happy family. But we get that without them being blood related anyway.
Yeah. Also, you know, we see Phil do the hard sell for Ward and May. And by the end of the season, we know that both of them were playing hard to get because, you know, Ward was being placed on the team by Garrett, and May was placed on the team by Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And Hill too, right? She was reporting to Hill and Fury.
I thought it was just to Fury. I can't remember. It's been a while.
You're probably right.
I'd have to rewatch those episodes. It's been a while. But yeah, it's these two characters who are seemingly the most reluctant to join this team, and they're the ones that are jumping to join it inside. But they can't be too, they can't make Coulson too suspicious. So they have to, again, play hard to get.
May does get her butt kicked in this episode. She was flung from the van into the concrete wall, but survived. So yeah, that was a testimony to May. And then she kicked butt afterwards too, especially with the henchman sniper, I guess is the best way to call him, working for the evil doctor with the centipede program. And she went to town. I think that was really her. I think that was Ming-Na. I don't think that was a stunt person at all.
Yeah, we know Ming-Na is very good at martial arts. She's posted stuff on Instagram and Twitter, and there's been videos of like behind the scenes stuff. I keep thinking of that video of her on her, was it 50th birthday, kicking the board as Clark Gregg held it?
Mom and dad just breaking wood.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
foreplay.
This was the beginning of the science babies.
Oh, they're not cleared for the field, guys.
Oh, they're so little and innocent. And they're just buzzing around the lab and doing their own thing. Oh, they're just, oh.
Yes, please. Can we have that audio file?
They have no idea. They have no idea what's in store for them. And my heart hurts a little thinking about it because, again, they've both been through so much awful stuff. But they both come out so much stronger for it. And thinking of, you know, this innocent little Fitz here at the beginning and then thinking of evil Fitz from this past season and then thinking of Simmons and then thinking of her going undercover with Hydra and crawling out of her own mass grave in, you know, the Matrix universe. And, oh, these little babies, they have no idea what's in store for them. Poor Fitz and her being dropped into.
You forgot about, like, poor Fitz's brain damage season.
Exactly. Ugh. Poor them being betrayed by Ward, like him showing up for the first time. And they're just chatting happily at them. And I'm thinking, this guy's going to betray them and seriously injure Fitz. And all they wanted to do was just be friends with him.
Remember when Fitz and Ward went into the field together and Simmons made him a sandwich?
With the aioli. Oh, my heart.
Two words, Lauren. Breakfast nook.
Oh, just my heart, you guys. Whenever they showed up on screen, it was just like my heart couldn't take it.
I know. It's going to be a journey for everybody on the show, but they get kind of the brunt of all the damage as it comes forward.
Because everyone else, I mean, yeah, everybody goes through hell. But these other characters, I mean, they've already been through some measure of hell first, so they know kind of what they're in store for. And then these two, they're just fresh out of school and they're these happy, innocent little, I mean, they're just chattering around so happy about science. And oh my God, they have no idea.
And the dwarves were new back then. They were a complete set and they were all just buzzing around the lab, the exploded lab, making measurements. One of them just smelling, oh, Bashful. Oh, we miss you, Bashful.
My babies. I get the same feeling looking at them in this episode as I do when I watch like cat videos where the cat gets like stuck in blinds or something. It's just like, oh no, my heart is too full.
In retrospect, this was a great pilot. At the time, I would agree with you. I had issues with it as well as a lot of people. But in retrospect, this is a great pilot because of where the show went. So if you haven't had a chance to go back and watch it, I would recommend you go back.
Yeah, it made me want to just keep going and, you know, start a rewatch. But remember,
exactly,
this originally, it was picked up for 6 episodes and then it was extended to a full season later.
That's right.
But those first 6 episodes, when you watch them the first time, it was like, I mean, yeah, this is okay. It's nothing special. But once you love these characters and then you go back and watch it and you're like, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. It is. And even Mike Peterson, who turns into, again, spoilers, Deathlok eventually, he, you know, the dad that was struggling, he had gotten injured and he went to the doctor just to try to help him get back on his feet and become a worker again. And he's trying to provide for his son, Ace, who is again and again in the series. It's so great seeing even Mike Peterson and Ace. It was fun.
You remember when we kept hoping he would show up and be a recurring character, and I don't think we've seen him in about 2 years now?
I know.
No, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I miss him.
He keeps on going to cons. Yeah, he keeps on going to conventions. He appears at conventions, but he's not appearing on the show. So yeah, he's cashing in, but that's about it so far.
I wish they'd bring him back because I like the actor. J. August Richards, who was, I first saw in Angel, and he's been in a lot of stuff since then. And I really liked him as Mike Peters, you know, this guy trying to do the right thing. And then when he shows up again as Deathlok, there's so much interesting stuff there, but it was just kind of dropped.
It was dropped right after season 2 ended. It was just, he came back actually at the end of season 2, if I remember correctly. And then we just didn't see him again. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Well, isn't the actor doing like some legal procedural show now?
Probably. He does a lot of those. I remember, well, first of all, he played Gunn became a lawyer at the end of Angel.
Spoiler alert.
Then he was on Law and Order Trial by Jury, which, I mean, was canceled, and I was very sad about that. What's he doing these days?
As we look at IMDb, while you're looking that up, I did notice, like, he looked, I don't know if they were just dressing him kind of frumpy or if he really was heavier at the time and then he toned down for when he comes back later as, you know, Agent Mike Peterson.
Okay, he is going to be on this show called Kevin Probably Saves the World as Deputy Nathan Purcell. And he was on Notorious as somebody named Bradley Gregorian. I never saw it. And he was on Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
So at the time that this episode aired, the only two people I knew by name were Clark Gregg, who plays Phil Coulson, and Ming-Na Wen, who plays Melinda May. But the rest of them have become household names, at least to us. Chloe Bennett, Ian DeCascator, Elizabeth Henstridge, and Brett Dalton, who's no longer on the show, except for he did manage to come back in the E-World this past time around. They're all household names, at least for us geeks. They weren't at the time. And
I think that's probably just for us.
Yeah, I think they're definitely household names for, you know, Marvel nerds. But
that's fair.
I think, you know, what they do after this will determine what kind of careers they have. And it'll be like, oh, I remember when they were on that Marvel show. Which one was it?
I do see Chloe Bennett a lot on like gossip sites.
Yeah. Well, because she's got a very active Twitter account.
Yeah, she does. She's spoken out a lot about, you know, race and politics and gender, and just she's really funny, too. So I'd say she's worth a follow.
In that light, it is very interesting, as we know the ratings of the show, and we know that the show was pushed off until January, but then brought up to November for reasons. We think it's because the network thought that Inhumans was really going to kill the time slot. But in any event, they've been switched from Tuesdays to Fridays, which is why the main recording of this show has been switched to Sundays. They're probably only going to get one more season. So the episodes that we get in season 5 are a gift for us because we thought it was going to be canceled last year. And so we have one more season to see these characters that are still on the show. Brett Dalton, of course, is not. And it's just so great going back to see this. We've already talked about the bus. We haven't talked about the rising tide, which is no longer a factor on the show. But that was a big thing back then.
Rising tide. I put that in caps in my notes because I was like, oh, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, it wasn't a thing for very long, was it? It was like maybe the first couple episodes and then it just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, like the first, when she has the boyfriend come back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the last time I think they really deal with it. After that, she just refers to her hacker past.
Yeah.
I don't see them going back to that in space either. So if they go back to Earth, yeah. But if they're in space, no. I just don't
season
see the
rising 5
tide
is all about the rising tide.
Yeah. What if like season 5 is the rising tide like rallies and busts them out of space?
I can see the graphic now. It'll be like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., rising tide. Rising and then tide. Water comes up.
No, they have underwater adventures. They just take it literally. The rising tide takes them to Atlantis. And this is where they bring in Namor.
No, it's all about global warming. Season 5, all about global warming. The rising tides.
And just to fight back with the current administration, which doesn't believe in global warming. Okay.
I mean, after the season 4 lines they had.
Yeah. I hope Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. keeps doing that because that just gave me life.
The clearance levels. Remember that? Clearance level 6, 7, 8.
I do. Remember when we used to have that as a part of our intro?
I had to get rid of it because I kept on changing it on a weekly basis. I'm like, okay, just you're cleared for the from the director. That's why the change was made, because we were up to like clearance level 10 at one point in time. I'm like, how many more levels are we going to have?
It's such a nice little walk down memory lane watching this episode.
The first ever icer bullet.
Night-night gun. Thank you very much, sir.
We are not calling it a night-night gun.
Yes, we are.
It was the first time that we saw Lola fly, which has only happened maybe 3 times in the show, and I think 3 might be stretching. I know 2 for
expensive.
Fact, but I can't.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
It's expensive and it looks a little weird. This episode, it looked very weird when it happened. When it happens later, they seem to focus more on the actors inside the car, so it looks less weird.
It looked like one of those 70s, 80s TV shows the second time they do it, with the screen in the back, with the far screen in the back, and they're like on a sound stage just flailing around. That's what it looked like when they did it the second time. Yeah, I know. It's so, I think we were complaining about the special effects for that episode too. But and then the reference to the next episode, but it's a big deal. It's again something that took the series for a long time, the 084 reference. So that is something that we didn't know how important that was going to be for the whole series, and it turned out to be very important. This episode was just fun to watch in retrospect. I wonder if somebody hasn't seen it before and you're like, oh, you got to see this episode, if they would get the same enjoyment out of it. And I don't think they would, that we are 4 years later.
I feel like, okay, I'm about to test this actually. I am hoping to do a rewatch with some friends who started watching it and then just kind of abandoned it. And they abandoned it, like, I guess, closer to season one, season two. So I'm kind of curious. It's, you know, go back, watch the stuff, and see, like, okay, do you like this pilot episode? Me, after seeing everything, I like this pilot episode so much more than I did at the time. I think that at the time, what it was suffering from was we were all just so excited because it was our first Marvel TV show. And we were hoping for basically what we had gotten from the Marvel movies just on the small screen. And it's not that.
This came out a year after Avengers. It came out right after Iron Man 3, right after.
Yeah.
And so that's the level that people were at. And remember, at the time, this had huge viewership numbers. I think like 12 million people watched it live or something like that when it first aired.
It was the biggest rating for a single episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think it was between 12 and 14, but I think you're right. It's 12.
Yeah. And then the following week, it was down to like, I don't know, eight. It was significantly lower in the following week.
Yeah, it was
week.
Like 8 or 6. And then it fell down to about 6 to 5 for the remainder of the season, then down maybe down to 4. And it's never really recovered. So unfortunately, they didn't get the big hit that they wanted to out of this, but it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, well, because people were showing up and they wanted to see the superhero show on TV. They wanted to see, you know, an Avenger showing up every week. And I don't think that was a realistic expectation.
No, because if you want to see an Avenger every week, you're going to have to pay for Robert Downey Jr. and that effects team to show up every week. And you're not going to get that. And what we ended up getting was, you know, this. It's a very successful with a very dedicated, if not as large as ABC wanted, fan base dedicated to this show with a solid cast of, you know, spy stuff and, you know, later superhero stuff and kind of teasing its connections to the Marvel universe. It was our first comics show from Marvel. The Netflix show, I feel like kind of, the Netflix shows kind of, I feel like took some lessons from it and learned from it in terms of connection and what the fans do and don't want to see and being allowed to be more adult with it. And all in all, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been a good success. The downside sort of has been that, because ABC is a network, it's chained by advertisers and it's chained by ratings. You can get shows on other networks where, like, I think, is it the CW that, like, lives and dies by its fandoms these days?
Yeah.
Like, as long as they have a good fandom, they'll keep a show going.
Yeah, CW really strives for 2 million viewers per show, and they can sustain that. Unfortunately, some of the shows lately, like Arrow, have gone down. If you take a look at Legion, which we just covered in the past 20 or so episodes here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Legion was an FX show, and it got less than 1 per episode of ratings, like 0.7, 0.8. But it was such an amazing show. They're bringing it back for season 2, of course, and it's going to live in Netflix or wherever they have that streaming right now. I can't remember if I bought it off of Amazon Prime or I watched it on Netflix. But it is an awesome show, and if that would have been on ABC, well, first of all, it wouldn't have been because of the adult content. But if it would have been on ABC, I think it would have gotten a lot better ratings. If people had stuck with it, that is, because it took like 4 episodes to get to the point where you're like, oh, okay, I kind of see where it's going. This was not that way. It went 16 episodes of, okay, before, bam, this is what the show is really about. I was going to ask you, ladies, what's your favorite reference to the MCU in this episode? I know what my favorite one is. Haley, what was your favorite MCU reference?
Oh, MCU reference. I have my favorite Marvel line.
Okay, yeah. What was your favorite?
Oh, Thor's arms. That's the best reference.
Yeah. That was my favorite, too, when
I don't think Maria he's a Hill. God. If you've seen his arms,
You haven't been near his arms.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I love, this isn't an MCU reference, it's a comics reference, but when Simmons tells Ward, are you ready to join our little journey into mystery?
Yep, that was a good one. The other one was, with great power comes a ton of weird crap that you are not prepared to deal with.
Not great power comes with great responsibility, but yeah, she made it up.
Hers, let's face it, is more realistic.
Right. And then there was the reference to the gamma radiation in the Centipede, which, of course, is the cause of all superhero stuff.
Well, it was the super soldier serum, gamma radiation, and like a couple other things too.
Yeah, it's everything that has been known to cause a superhero, just kind of smashed up.
I like the costumed hero from the 40s and the, what do they call the flying techno, whatever. I can't remember off the top of my head what they called Iron Man, unfortunately. But yeah, it was those references. It was all Director Hill right there at the beginning, which was like, okay, we're part of this, but yet we're not 4 years later. So I think that was part of the special magic of this episode, seeing it 4 years later. You're like, oh yeah, we did come straight out of the MCU. You're just not really a part of it anymore.
Well, and Thor came out in November. So they were, that was like episode 8 or whatever. And they kind of advertised, oh, this is the crossover episode. And it was like, they show up afterwards and are like picking up trash.
They're basically damage control at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about the pilot episode that you want to talk about, Lauren?
No, I think I've mentioned pretty much everything I wanted to say. Just, oh, they're all so young and innocent.
I want to mention the fact that Coulson really showed his colors at the end of the episode when he faced off square to square with Mike Peterson. He put down his guns. He got really up close to him and he was just trying to connect with him on a personal level. And that is Phil Coulson. So I'm glad that was brought in. And of course, Ward shot him with the night gun.
There were a lot more spy gadgets than I think we get nowadays in these first few episodes.
The branding. I was going to bring that up. The branding everywhere. How do you ladies like the branding everywhere?
Oh, it brought back memories.
I also have so many quotes.
Oh, let's go through them.
Someone really wanted our initials to spell out SHIELD.
He's not wrong.
No, and I think to the person that's uninitiated, that actually was needed up front. Like, SHIELD, what? Strategic Homeland, what? So I think they had to state that.
Sorry, that corner was really dark and I couldn't help myself. I think there's a bulb out.
There's a bulb out. Again, Coulson being Coulson.
Yeah.
Under people skills, she drew, I think it's a little poop with knives sticking out of it.
Again, that could have been a hint for the future. Like, this guy's Hydra. I don't like this guy. But it was a porcupine. Or at least she said so.
Tahiti. It's a magical place.
Yeah. Just hearing those words, it's like your heart drops. It's like Tahiti. Because everybody hears Tahiti and it's like, oh, I really want to go to Tahiti. But you hear it from this context and you know where it leads with Coulson. And you're like, oh my gosh. Oh. And if you keep watching, you know you're going to get there and it's just going to break your heart.
It's just like chills go up your spine.
With great power comes a ton of weird crap that you are not prepared to deal with.
Sky coming out with the great quotes.
I'm not Hermione.
I know, I heard that. And then there was a bunch of sciencey stuff that happened really fast. And, you know, I was watching and trying to type notes at the same time. I'm like, I'll go back and watch that later. Get it. But I did catch the Hermione thing.
Are you excited to be coming on our journey into mystery? Hey, what's up?
What was that? What was that from again?
When she's doing her big speech, like, you will never find us. And then they open the van door. Hey, what up?
She's broadcasting on air, podcasting, ham radio. I don't know what she was doing. And then all of a sudden, boop. Okay. Yeah,
she goes from that to being a super awesome kick-ass spy. I mean, come on.
And the van, we didn't really talk about the van too much. The van. And it comes back later.
What? I would. One time.
Cosplaying.
You're the bad guy, and I'm the hero.
Yeah, Mike Peterson.
It matters who I am inside, if I'm a good person, if I'm strong.
There was a lot of that in this episode. A lot of pandering, I guess, to the heroics of the team, or what SHIELD meant, what this team was going to mean. And that was, again, overflowing with emotions. Is that it, Haley?
Yep, that's the end of the episode. We've got an 084.
We do. Yeah, man, this is a great episode. I'm glad we got to go through this for 200. Eventually, we'll go through the rest of the ones that we didn't do, the rest of the 12, I guess, now, episodes that we didn't.
Yeah, just as soon as Marvel stops putting out new stuff.
I know, and new good stuff, too. Because if it's not good, we're probably not going to cover it. But if it's good, we're going to cover it. And there's a lot of stuff to go through. So we'll get there, guys. We'll get there. And we're also going to cover Inhumans no matter what.
Yeah.
Because Haley put it on the schedule. So we're
Here's what our criteria will be. If it is actually tied to the MCU, we will cover it. If it is not tied to the MCU, we will go based on quality about whether or not we cover it, which is why we ended up covering Legion, because it was really good. The new show Gifted looks like it's going to be really good. And if it is, we'll cover it. And if it sucks, we won't.
So there you go, Fox.
Maybe we'll do like a, we'll do one episode on a whole season or something like that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm almost to the end of The Expanse right now in season two. I think I got two more episodes left, and it's so good. It's so good. I have had issues with sci-fi. I think I talked about it briefly in a previous episode. The dark matter cancellation really twisted me on sci-fi, and it changed the whole landscape on what I believe is a show worth watching. So I'm going to wait from now on a sci-fi show, sci-fi. I'm going to wait three seasons before I get into it, because if it's canceled after three seasons and it doesn't end well or ends on a cliffhanger, I'm not going to watch it. So networks, I'm watching you, especially NBC, Skiffy, and Fox. And talking about Fox, the reason I bring this up, because we're talking about Gifted, is The Orville came out, and I'm not going to watch it, even though it has Adrian Palicki, who played Mockingbird on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., really would like to support her, but I'm not going to support a network that's going to likely cancel the show before three seasons. I'm not going to invest my time in something that's just not going to be there. So Gifted, I hope it's good. And I hope it's really good, because I don't want to waste my time on another Fox show. Terra Nova, you burned me. You burned me, Fox, and Terra Nova. And I know a lot of people out there got burned with Firefly. So, Fox, I'm watching you. Don't show the shows out of order. By the way, talking about other shows, we are still covering over on Netflix, Iron Fist. The next episode we cover will be episode 10, Black Tiger Steals Hearts. We'll be going over that this Sunday. And episode 201. So please come out and enjoy us kind of ragging and enjoying the brief good parts about that series. Talking about good parts, we're part of the GunnaGeek.com network, and that is all great. We've been part of them basically since episode one. And thank you very much for allowing us to be part of your network, Mr. Steven, on GunnaGeek.com. This week was the official announcement. I know we talked about it last episode, but there was an official announcement. They did a soft announcement. They literally did a soft announcement. I'm like, you guys aren't supposed to be. I talked to James, who's the producer of Just One More Fix, and we talked about him last week, and they weren't supposed to announce until this week. And I was like, you guys announced last week. It said, yeah, I know, but we made the decision afterwards and I couldn't take it up in post. So we just did a soft announcement. I'm like, you totally oceans that. You know that. And he's like, yeah, I know. So this is the hard announcement. This is the first official episode on the GunnaGeek.com network for Just One More Fix. Episode 53, Getting Started with Role-Playing Games or RPGs. Longtime game master and storytellers James and Kurt discuss how to get over the initial hurdles of getting started in the world of RPGs. This is a very good gaming podcast discussing how to do tabletop gaming and role-playing games. So please check them out. Just One More Fix. They are phenomenal. Everybody that's heard them has been like, oh, this is the gaming podcast I have wanted to listen to. So go check them out on the GunnaGeek.com network. Once again, that is Just One More Fix. It's the news time. Haley, what do we got?
Well, we're starting off with some sad news, and that is that the creator of Wolverine passed away at the age of 69, Lynn Wine.
Yeah, he also, among others, created Storm, well, co-created Storm, Swamp Thing, and edited Watchmen, and yeah, he did a lot of work with DC and Marvel. Yeah, he's had a really long and very, very good career. And yeah, it's really sad. He's been at a bunch of cons that I've been to over the years. And yeah, it's sad.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn, for giving us the creators and just the entertainment value in the characters and the stories you've told. And we will sorely miss you.
So we've talked before about the upcoming Netflix show Punisher. And we're starting to see some more promotional material for that come out.
Yeah, the Mary Sue has a bunch of gathered stuff from the Netflix Twitter and the Punisher Twitter. And it really looks like it's going to be going hard with the conspiracy theories and cover-ups for this season. I had been kind of wondering what exactly they were going to be doing since we already kind of got, you know, his past in Daredevil season two. But yeah, we get, there's a lot of like Morse code and stuff, and they might be the episode titles. So like 3 a.m., Two Dead Men, Kandahar, Resupply, Gunner, The Judas Goat, Crosshairs, Cold Steel, Front Toward Enemy, Virtue of the Vicious, Danger Close, Home, and Memento Mori. So that's the right number for it to be episode titles. There's also the teaser trailer that has images of some of the cast members. And
did you hear how the titles were leaked, by the way?
Yeah, in Morse code.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And do you hear who else is going to be starring in The Punisher?
Wait, what?
It was announced while you were away that you like The Expanse, right?
Yes.
So, you know the woman that is playing...
Oh, yeah, Amasarla. She's going to be in it. Yes, yeah. I'm very happy. I love Shore Agdashlu. She's a really good actress, and I am so happy to see her in anything. And in Marvel, yay! She also played Kavita Rao in X-Men 3.
Oh, that's right. The intriguing thing to me is that she does so well with the conspiracies and everything in The Expanse. She's just going to be a natural with government conspiracies here in The Punisher. And I have wanted the two to go toe-to-toe, like in an action scene. So we'll see if that actually happens.
I think she's playing a fairly minor role, unfortunately.
Marvel, get it right. Bring her in. Yeah. Bring her in. She'll be awesome.
All right. Well, now we've got some news about Thor Ragnarok. It's coming out very, very soon. And apparently, we're going to get the Marvel Cinematic Universe's first LGBT character in this movie.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok is introducing Korg, who is gay. And he will be gay in the movie. Apparently, Taika Waititi is going to be playing him via motion capture.
Hmm.
So that's going to be cool. Waititi said he based Korg's soft-spoken voice on Polynesian bouncers he's known. And while we've had LGBT characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and on the Netflix shows, Korg will be the first in a feature Marvel film.
Wow. I just assumed that we had had those characters. Wow. The first? Nope. Well, it's about time.
And technically, we have not had, as far as I know, bi or trans characters in any of these universes. So get on that, Marvel.
Indeed.
And then also from Thor, Tessa Thompson talks about Valkyrie in an interview with Collider.
This interview is fantastic. So Tessa Thompson is amazing. If you've never seen Dear White People, the movie on Netflix, she's so good in it. And the TV show is on my to watch list, and I keep meaning to watch it, but I get distracted. But she's fantastic, so I can't wait to see her as Valkyrie. And this interview is great. She talks the development of her character, the racist reactions to her casting, her doing stunts. She talks her castmates, and she talks Valkyrie's accent. Though both Taika Waititi and Anthony Hopkins told her not to worry about an accent, Thompson persisted. I'm a nerd, and I go back to the source material, and I'm like, I have to speak in italics. So we settled on something that felt like it honors Asgard. Yeah, so she's talking about that, you know, that shot from the trailer of her on the horse, and it looks so awesome. That shooting day, I was on a big blue sausage, not epic at all. Then in comes this incredible horse rider who's on this beautiful stallion, and the horse jumps in the air, and it's fantastic and epic. Maybe 15 minutes later, they did a composite where suddenly I'm on that horse, and I couldn't believe it. It's like, look at me go! She also trained with the same sword person who worked with Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman. So I just started to get used to having a sword, and it turns out to be the biggest thing of getting used to having a sword is not losing it. I lose it all the time. I have to ask people, have you seen my sword? You've all been there, right? So yes, she sounds amazing, and I cannot wait to see her in action.
All right, and our last little bit of news this week. Sorry, did you want to say something?
No, I was just thinking, speaking of nerds...
One of us. Sebastian Stan thinks of himself as the Jon Snow of Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, it was an interview with MTV. He's currently out promoting I, Tonya. He stars as Jeff Galuli. And he's talking about being in Infinity Wars. So he said, I feel a lot like that Jon Snow character in Battle of the Bastards. When there's that shot of Jon Snow from the back, his horses are charging at him and he's just standing there. That's kind of how I feel on set at times. Will I make the stampede or not?
Stampeding. You never know. I think the arm's going to survive, but I don't know about the rest of it.
He'll be fine. He's pretty.
He's too pretty to die.
Exactly.
I see. So some great Marvel news, and we're looking forward to all the great things. You know, Inhumans starting up in a couple of weeks. We got Thor Ragnarok in November. We got The Punisher coming out in November. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starting season 5 in November. It's going to be an awesome fall, in addition to all the great other shows that have been coming out, like Gifted and everything else, which is just, I mean, are you ready for The Runaways?
Oh my God, yes. The new reboot of, well, not reboot, but the new comic just came out this week. And I am so here for this. They're bringing back Gert Yorks, who was my favorite character from the original run. And oh, so excited. I'm so excited.
Indeed. All right. That's it for everything. We're going to get on to the feedback.
So Mr. Paracletes on Twitter sent us this. He said, wow, really? British Airways magazine thinks Black Panther star is from Wakanda. Yeah, I saw this. There's an article talking about a bunch of actors. And then for Lupita Nyong'o, it has her country of origin listed as Wakanda. For those of you who don't know, A, Wakanda is fictional. And B, Lupita Nyong'o was actually born in Mexico. So, guys, I think you need to research your stories a little better. I'm just saying.
Hmm. Yeah, the journalism in the modern day is suspect because they don't pay reporters very much.
Well, it wasn't any better in old times either. But I'm just saying, like, nowadays, really all you got to do is go to Wikipedia and be like, where was Lupita Nyong'o born? Mexico? Okay. And not Wakanda, which is not even a real place.
Which, if you Google, you will find is a fictional place.
Exactly. It's the, you Google Wakanda and it says a fictional country in the Marvel Universe. Fictional.
No way. I thought it was real. You're telling me it's fictional? Oh.
Sorry to smash your world into a thousand
pieces.
Well,
you would probably either be or not be surprised. One of the two options. How many people think that Latveria and Wakanda are real places?
Latveria is real, right? It's in the Baltic Sea, right?
Latvia is real. Latveria is
oh,
not.
Oh, I see. But you sure that Wakanda isn't real? Because I distinctly remember seeing a shipyard of dismantling ships on some shore in Wakanda. I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere.
You probably saw it in a movie.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
So everything I see in movies is not real?
For the most part, yeah.
You mean Star Wars isn't real?
No, Star Wars is the truth. Star Wars is a documentary filmed in real time.
Real time? I thought it was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, they filmed it a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, but they filmed it real time. So why exactly. Did we get episodes 4 through 6 first?
Well, because that's how long it took them to get it to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're like me editing podcasts and sometimes episode 1 through 3 come out after
exactly.
4 through 6?
Oh, exactly.
Okay. I get it. Okay.
And we also got from Adana Girl on Twitter, Rocket Raccoon's origin story is coming to the MCU. And from The Nerdist, we have theories. I'm looking at these theories right now. Okay, first of all, I am all in favor of more Rocket Raccoon stuff. Yeah, apparently they're going to be covering it in probably Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or... they said we wouldn't be surprised if Marvel eventually spins Rocket or Rocket and Groot into their own film after Guardians 3. But there's a little bit of it in Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series. Like, I guess Lila shows up. Lila is an otter version of Rocket in Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series. But I don't know how canon that is. Anyway, I am all in favor of seeing more of Rocket and Groot.
I think everybody's in favor of seeing more Rocket and Groot. And I've lately been kind of binging a few times in the background, Guardians of the Galaxy, the original one. I did when I was traveling and I watched it once or twice just hanging around the house. And Rocket is just fun to watch, especially the iconic scene where he's on top of Groot in the prison and there's just firing everywhere. It's just, I'm like, oh, that's great. And then, of course, the scene where Groot has passed away and Rocket is in deep sorrow and Drax is petting it. Oh, it's all great. Of course, that's Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or Volume 1 or just Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, 2 just recently came out on Blu-ray and we got it and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So
yeah, I haven't opened it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it this weekend, by the way. So that's on the list.
Yes. And consultant Black Adam at StarSaber_222 said, doing some coloring to take a break from hurricane coverage. First of all, Adam, I'm glad to hear that it sounds like you're okay through Hurricane Irma. Yes, another one of our own was affected by hurricanes this past, oh God, was it really a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell time anymore.
I think it's been like 2 weeks since Harvey won. Well, we're still dealing with Irma.
There's several members of the Gonna Geek Network that are in Florida. Adam is, of course, one of the contributors to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition, so he is definitely one of us. But there's also Joe from PopX Cast. He's there,
yeah.
As is, his name is escaping me right now, but he's from Doom Ninja. So at least three members are in the peninsula of Florida.
Yeah, and
Nate,
it sounds like everybody's safe and okay, so that's good. And Adam shared us his coloring. It's Marvel pages. One is like a Scotty young little baby Avengers playing video games, and it's very cute. And the other is Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, and Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, looking completely awesome.
Yeah, lots of great stuff. And by the way, don't forget to check out the charity podcast pack, which you can find once again at thegreatgeeks.link/podcastpack or geeks.link/Harvey fundraiser. And with that, we are going to all get in Lola in the flying car, and we're just going to fly this one out. It's been a great episode. It's been a great 200 episodes. Thank you, listener, for being with us. Thank you for contributing, for giving us your feedback, from sending us new stories. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It's been awesome doing this podcast for 200 episodes, and we're going to keep doing them as long as Marvel gives us great stuff.
Thank you to everybody who's ever talked to us on any form of social media or called us, sent us links, sent us stuff that you thought would be funny. Right now, I'm wearing these paracord bracelets that friend of the podcast at Born to Eat Bacon sent. Thank you so much. Just, you guys are just completely awesome. And I can't believe you're still listening to us, but you are. And we love you so much.
Yes, thank you to everyone that's listening. If you enjoy listening, remember, Lauren and I recorded a special extra podcast you can get in the podcast pack. It is awesome and funny, and we love every one of you, and we especially love the ones that download that extra special episode.
I want to send a special thank you to the network owner, Steven. Thank you for allowing us to stay on the network. Every episode we say we are a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network. We are assuming you're proud to have us, but we don't know for sure, so we'll just keep with that assumption as we continue on with the next 201, 202, 203, until you take us, cancel us, and take us off the network. So with that, I will start playing the music and we'll get out of here. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.